Hi, you're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, coming to you on the 30th of March 2011. My name's Hereward Fenton. Tonight we're bringing you homegrown Australian news. We've got Luke Jenkins coming on in about 15 minutes to talk about the No Carbon Tax protest, of which he is one of the organisers, and it looks like it's going to be a big one. We know that the protest down in Canberra had about 5,000, and a lot of those were bussed from Sydney. It's scheduled to start in Hyde Park, Hyde Park North. That's where the fountain is in Hyde Park, and there will be police attending. Let's hope it's a peaceful gathering, and let's hope that it really sends a message, at least to the powers that be, that there is actually a real democratic movement for truth in regard to the questions of whether we do in fact have dangerous man-made climate change, and whether a tax can ever be a solution to that type of a problem, if indeed it is a problem. And Luke and I will be getting into that question in great depth in the interview. Now, we've got some international news, and I want to quickly take a look at a very serious situation which is unfolding in Syria. Now, if you've been listening to the mainstream news, you will be under the impression that there is an uprising developing in Syria, and that the president there, Bashar al-Assad, is taking extreme measures to repress the popular movement, and that this is a terrible thing. I mean, we have articles published in major Australian media, such as the Sydney Morning Herald today. We have an article from the chief correspondent of the Sydney Morning Herald, Paul McGough. The title of that article is "Assad Plots His Next Move in Live or Die Game for Syria." Now, an interesting thing about Paul McGough, right, is that he is a very senior writer for Fairfax, and he's done a lot of great work. I've read a lot of his articles over the years, and thought that he's doing a great job in the way he's covered the Iraq War. And he was the main Middle East correspondent for most of the period of the Iraq War. He's now, looks like, been promoted to chief correspondent for Fairfax. And this promotion seems to have coincided with his unfortunate encounter with the Israel security forces last year on a boat that was headed to Gaza, a relief boat, which was overrun by the Israelis. And Paul McGough was on that boat, and he never filed a report about what happened. And I thought that's really strange, because here we have one of the top journalists in Australia right on the scene of a very important world, you know, shaking event that took place, and he doesn't even write about it. And then subsequently he did, you know, refer to these events, and yet his whole tone seems to have become incredibly supportive of the both Israel and the globalist agenda. He seems to have changed, and I don't know whether something happened to him that night, but he got a job promotion, and now he appears to just toe the line for the New World Order in a pretty gruesome way, as you'll see from this article. Now, I just want to point out that I actually have some inside sources from Syria that completely contradict the view being put forth by the Western media that there is this massive uprising taking place. I've got photos here that have been provided to me from a Syrian website that purport to show mass demonstrations in favor of the government. And we're really talking here mass demonstrations. I mean, giant city squares completely packed with people, all carrying banners in praise and in support of President Bashar al-Assad. Now, the numbers I've been told that have attended these rallies are in the millions. So just to return again to our article here by Paul McGough, he says that Assad was rumoured to have been about to address the nation. Instead, he was missing in action and his goons were back on the streets. More arrests, more killings. Instead of embracing his people, his forces surrounded the small southern city of Dara, which has been the focus of unrest for 2 weeks. As the protests and killing spread on the weekend, there were explicit official statements that the president was to speak publicly yesterday, but did not. Like Bahrain and Iraq before it, Syria is an Arab state in which a minority, in this case the Shiite Alawite religious sect, controls the affairs of the majority through a series of interreligious alliances. The deal imposed by Assad's father was the curtailment of rights and liberties in return for political stability in a country with all the sufficient social powder to make it as explosive as Iran and Lebanon. Now, if you get into the main thrust of the article here, Paul McGough is basically asserting that Syria kind of needs to be destabilized. I mean, here he's quoting from a Syria scholar from the University of Oklahoma. And again, you know, one must question these people from the US who profess to be experts on countries on the other side of the world. Joshua Landis, a Syria scholar, argues that to topple the regime, the demonstrators, until now mostly rural, would have to crack open the Faustian deal by which the Alawites control government and the security forces and the Sunni majority, the economy, through a network of merchant and industrial families. In all this, the stakes are huge. Syria's role in the region, friend of Iran, Hamas and Hezbollah, Bigfoot in Lebanon, a major player in Iraq, makes it critical to the reshaping of the Arab world. Now, there you have a clear statement of policy, political strategy, and this is where I'm afraid I have to say that our media, our journalists, have become nothing more than a disgusting mouthpiece of really international skullduggery and military force and the raping and pillaging of countries around the world. And it is largely because of people in the media, like this man, Paul McGough, that make it possible, because they tell you what to think. They tell, maybe not you as in the listener of this show, but they influence millions of people's views about what the truth is. And they are committing crimes against humanity. To the same extent, I would say that the Nazi propagandists like Julian Stürmer, who was the Nazi propagandist against the Jews, or Joseph Goebbels, in propagating known lies to further hatred and aggression and killing. So we need a people's revolt against the media. We really do. And I hope that anyone listening to the show can follow through what I'm saying here and look and research and look at the links that we provide, and you'll see that the situation in Syria has been blown up and they're turning it into something. Now, I think they want to neutralize Syria as a powerful ally to Iran, because Iran is in the crosshairs and has been for years and years. They have to neutralize the allies of Iran. we must look at what happened in Libya and see this is a continuation of the imperialist program that started with the invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq. And if we've got any dignity left, if we've got any soul left, if we've got any humanity left, we will rise up as a people and prevent these liars in the media from promulgating completely dishonest propaganda and disinformation. Another story I just want to cover quickly is Australia is to get stick figure airport body scanners this year. Our American cousins are no stranger to having airport officials checking out their junk in a vague attempt at airport security. Full body scanners have been a controversial addition to American airports for both health and privacy reasons. Now Australia is about to get the same types of scanners, although without the fear of inadequacies raised from having strangers look at your man bits, thanks to the introduction of stick figure technology. And that is not a euphemism. This is an article from Gizmodo. Yes, folks, we are to get the scanners. And, of course, there are other stories recently about the deep X-ray scanners, which they're also putting in airports. For people who are suspected of carrying drugs, you're going to get a deep X-ray. That's equivalent to something that you'd only get if you were, you know, if you maybe had cancer or something like that. You know, they give you a full body X-ray. They're actually going to do that. But only randomly, or on, you know, people who they suspect of having drugs. This is actually to be a screening device, so we're all going to be put through this. And they're saying it's fine now, you see, because the operator doesn't see the curvature, the beautiful curves of your body. The operator just sees an outline of your body. And it has little targets, you know, if there's a target area that looks like might have something in there, it just lights up in red. Now, first of all, I just want to say I don't believe it, okay? I don't believe anything that they say about these devices, having known that they lied about the fact that they don't keep storage of images when we know the machines are designed to store images. I do not believe that they only ever would look at a stick figure version of your body. I believe the stick figure version is probably one view that you can have, and you can probably switch it to the full body view. And of course, if they thought there was something funny going on, they would switch to the full body view, because with the stick figure view, you wouldn't be able to see anything properly, would you? You'd only see some red dot. Of course they would have the option to go to the view that gives you more detail. There's no way they would rule that out. There's no way they would make that impossible. This is a complete PR lie and an obscene and obnoxious slap in the face to public sentiment, okay? And, of course, it does nothing to the questions and the arguments about the dosage of ionizing radiation that you will be getting from walking through the scanners, which are unchanged. So we have a massive fight on our hands, ladies and gentlemen, in regards to these scanners. And I really hope that someone out there listening starts a protest movement against the scanners. I'll help you. Someone's got to do it. I'm too busy. I can't do it. So anyone who's listening to the show, who cares, you're the one who needs to start the protest movement against the naked body scanners. And please get back to me. This is an emergency, okay? They're currently underway. They're going to be deployed sometime soon. And once they're in, you won't be able to fly unless you walk through the scanner. So I do hope to hear from some listeners in regards to this outrage against human freedoms. Okay, we're about ready to break for our interview with Luke Jenkins, organiser of the carbon tax protest. So please stay with us, and it'll be a really interesting 45 minutes or so discussing that. Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.
Is human activity causing damaging climate change? Are there normal cycles of variation? Is carbon dioxide a damaging pollutant or a natural part of life on Earth? Should it be taxed, or are there better ways to support a sustainable environment and a strong economy? Why did the federal government promise no tax and then introduce one? Send your views to Canberra at the Revolt Against Carbon Tax Rally, Hyde Park North, 10:30 April 2nd. More at revoltagainstcarbontax.com. Authorised by NKeys, Chapel Hill, Queensland.
Welcome back to Truth News, and I'd like to welcome to the show today Luke Jenkins, who's joining us to discuss the carbon tax protest. And you just heard an ad there which is going to be running on radios stations in Sydney. And, of course, the protest is scheduled for this Saturday, the 2nd of April, meeting at Hyde Park North. And I'd like to welcome Luke to the show. Luke, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Fantastic. It's great to have you on board with Truth News.
It's good to be on the show.
Now, I'll just a quick introduction to you for our audience here. Luke, you've been basically working and living in Sydney, and you've been looking at this issue for a number of years, and you heard the call for people's revolt from Tony Abbott at a certain point, which a lot of people, I think, heard that and thought, what are we going to do? And you decided to actually do something, and you found yourself in control of organising the Sydney rally, and you've secured a permit here for the rally, and we hope that it will be a big turnout. And you say here the team that formed in New South Wales is fantastic, and they've put in a lot of hard hours and hard work and money out of their own pockets. That's just a really important point to remember when people accuse the climate skeptics of being somehow funded by some big secret, oil cartels or whatever. In my experience, that's never the case. It's actually just people who are motivated and do things at great, personal cost quite often.
Oh, that's right.
Absolutely.
Some aren't even working at the moment, and we're putting money into our own pockets to get this up and going. And it's been a fantastic ride over the last couple of weeks, meeting these new people in my life and getting to know them and work alongside them.
Yeah. So, what do you expect the turnout to be on Saturday? Do you have like a rough idea of how many people are going to turn up?
We can't tell at the moment.
Right.
As you saw in Canberra, there was close to 4,000, which swelled to around 5,000. But being on Saturday and in Sydney, we do expect bigger numbers, but it is harder to tell.
Absolutely, yeah. It's always hard to know exactly what's going to happen on the day. Do you actually have some speakers lined up? Do you have anything you can tell us about who's going to be addressing the crowd there?
Okay, well, we do have Angry Anderson that's confirmed. He'll be there to MC, as he did in Canberra.
Okay.
We've got the Honourable Senator Eric Arbitz. He's coming along to speak. What we're mainly hoping for is the people that want to get up and speak on the day and talk about why they've come along and how it's going to affect them individually and their families. And we do have a couple of surprises up our sleeves as well. So.
Excellent, excellent. One thing I want to get into is the whole question of the way in which this new kind of protest movement that's now developing against the carbon tax is being immediately demonized by both the media and the powers that be. They're being called extremists. The government's sort of trying to say, well, these people are not to be taken seriously. They said it's a Dungeons and Dragons convention, and they keep using this word extremist. How do you feel about that, Luke?
I honestly feel that it is a disgusting slur on everyday Australians. You know, on the day, yes, you know, we had people like Pauline Hanson turn up, but she wasn't invited. We had people from One Nation. We may not agree with all their views, but they do live in this country and they do have a right to get up and protest. Because it is a democracy, and just because they were there doesn't mean anything.
Absolutely. That's such an important point, you know, and I think that when you have controversy and where there are, you know, where there's an issue that is going to draw a lot of people together, you actually will find that you get people standing beside you who you don't really agree with, you know, and who you wouldn't normally hang out with. But that's, I think, an indication of how serious the issue is, that it is actually pulling in people from across all the political spectrum. And I've always thought that with this issue, and it's like a few other things that we looked at on this show, is that, you know, they want to make it a political issue. They want to make it like, oh, it's a right-wing issue, it's a left-wing issue, and all of the pundits and all of the people who shape public opinion try to steer people into this groupthink of, you know, you follow what your political party says or you follow what your group says. And what we need to do, if this is a free society, if this is a democracy, we need to think for ourselves and we need to have an opinion. This is nothing to do with politics. This is actually, first of all, there's a scientific question and it's a vigorous scientific debate, and the skeptics have never been given a proper voice. And secondly, there is a huge debate to be had about whether, even if you were to accept all the scientific arguments, whether the taxation solution is a sensible one. I mean, you know, making people basically trading, you know, the emissions scheme is the idea of trading. Well, taxation is kind of a lead into this idea of trading on carbon as being some kind of bad thing that we basically trade as a negative. It's like, this has been compared to a medieval system of, back in the medieval times, you could buy indulgences from the church, which meant that, you know, if you were a wicked person and you'd done some bad things, you'd pay some money to the church and they'd say, well, there's a license to do badness. That's actually what carbon trading, in my opinion, is.
Well, there's so many issues surrounding this, and I don't believe the tax is the way to go. Because the majority of people do love the environment, do care about the environment. We're doing our thing in life to look after it. But when this is going to affect the truckies who provide all our goods and services, including our food, and going to affect the agriculture industry, you've got to start thinking, is this tax any good for us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Have you looked into some of the, you know, follow-on effects that's going to happen with this tax? I mean, we know that power prices have gone up in anticipation of the tax. We know they're going to go up again. Basically, is there anything that won't go up? It just seems like it's going to be an across-the-board situation where prices are just going to go up and we're not really even going to understand it as it's happening.
Well, it goes to basic supply and demand. Companies have got shareholders to look after and they're going to still want to make a profit, which is just going to be a flow-on effect to everyone in Australia. No matter what side of politics you're on, it's going to affect everyone in a small way or in a big way. And that's a massive concern. We, for example, should be looking at alternatives to green energy, but why instead of taxing us, we should be providing incentives. I'm no expert. Shouldn't we provide incentives to companies to train their workers so when a green job comes available, that worker can move into a green job if they so wish and still be able to afford to pay for a roof over their head and put food on the table for their families?
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. And, you know, I would have thought if it was to be fair, you know, for example, I don't drive a car. Well, I must be saving a massive amount of carbon footprint by not having a car, but I'm not going to get any tax rebates for that. I'm just going to be paying all this inflated prices for everything. So it's in a sense, I mean, I'm pretty much a skeptic on the science, and I'd like to get into some of that with you as well. But you know, in terms of this being a genuine mechanism, even if you accept all the scientific arguments, I think there's just such a question about it. And I do believe that many people agree with this. And obviously, you know, your movement here is a sign of that. But unfortunately, we have a media that is capable of persuading people that black is white, that 2 + 2 = 5, and you know they'll basically pitch this as being, you know, another fringe group who we just sort of have to, you know, deal with. And that's how they talked about Pauline Hanson. And of course, you know, they've made a point of saying, you know, that Pauline Hanson was there at that group. And, you know, they're just going to say, well, you know, in a democracy, we always have these fringe nutters who basically, you know, have views that nobody really agrees with. Well, you know, that I think has to be countered. We have to, those who understand this position need to really step up. And that's why I'm just like so pleased that you're actually organizing this rally. And I really do hope that it is a massive success.
Well, that's what we all hope as well. And from the understanding in the general population, we do believe that the majority of people do not want this tax. So it should be a massive success. And it's not going to be the only rally. There's going to be follow-on rallies. There's going to be family days. We're just going to keep going until we stop this tax.
Great. What are your views about climate change, Luke? I mean, do you? Let's just start with the basic sort of IPCC, you know, view that dangerous man-made climate change is now, you know, proven, and that CO2 levels have to be reduced in order to counteract that. I mean, what's your response to that?
Basically, it's already been disproven. It's hard to say. There's so many theories that float around, and the IPCC are already tainted with what they've done. Yes, I do believe that, you know, climate change is happening, and we do play a tiny role in this, but not the role they're trying to put out and brainwash the people into accepting their word. And we are facing a very, very hostile media who are supporting them. And there's only a couple of journalists out there who are fighting against it. So it's really hard to say with so many theories floating around, but I do believe that, yeah, climate change is always happening and we only play a tiny role in it. And the CO2, we could plant more trees to counteract that. More plants. It's the air we breathe. It's hard to say.
That's a very measured view. You know, you don't sound like an extremist to me. You sound like someone who's actually reflective and, you know, you're admitting that there is obviously something in the science. You know, CO2 is a greenhouse gas. We do know that. But we also know that it is a very tiny component of the atmosphere. And we know that water vapor is far more significant as a greenhouse gas than CO2. And you're admitting that, yes, it does play a role. But, you know, one thing I think that a lot of people don't realize is that it's almost all based on computer modeling. Whenever the media tries to talk about the, you know, proven that that it's got a lot warmer, they pull up all these statistics and they say, you know, such and such a year was the warmest ever, and then you look into it and you find, well, it wasn't really, you know. And then we had Phil Jones, who was the head of the climate research unit in the UK, who was at the centre of the ClimateGate scandal. He admitted, of course, that there has been no statistically significant warming since 1995. It's an uncontroversial thing to say that there really is no evidence of significant warming other than the general long-term trend. Would you probably agree with that? I mean, there's been a long-term trend of warming since, I guess, probably about the 18th century. And, you know, and it's still getting a little warmer, But some people think it's actually reached a peak now. I mean, what's your sense of how the climate in Australia has changed or not changed in your lifetime?
Well, the climate in Australia, we've always had a harsh climate. You know, we go through 10-year droughts and now we're not in one. And I do agree that the earth has been warming, but we look like we might be going into a cooling period. It's really hard to say because Australia has been a harsh climate. I've never lived in another country to feel what their climate's been like.
What do you think about this use of, you know, weather events to basically, you know, try and prove that that dangerous climate change is upon us? I mean, you know, when we had the droughts in Victoria, we had Penny Wong at that time, I think, who was the climate change minister, was saying, you know, well, these droughts in Victoria, that's exactly what we predicted with climate change. And then there was just massive rains, and now we've had, I think, Professor Garnaut saying that, yes, all these massive floods are, you know, that's what we predict with climate change. And is there anything that they won't attribute to basically prove this idea that they have? It just seems that no matter what happens, it'll just be used as another argument.
If a volcano goes off overseas, they'll use that. They're just using it as a fear campaign. It's like Tim Flannery came up an article a few weeks ago about how we'll have massive tsunamis coming to Sydney once a year. It's a scare campaign from them to try and scare us all into accepting this one tax that apparently is going to save the environment. I just think it's one massive scare campaign because they're getting desperate. They're getting really desperate. They'll use anything. They, you know, try to use the floods. Bob Brown tried to use the fires over in Perth, in Western Australia. They'll use anything to try and scare us. And the truth needs to get out there. People need to look at the facts and decide for themselves. Not have a fear campaign put on them. And then when they get up to speak, not get called extremists. Because I tell you what, those little old ladies in Canberra didn't look extreme to me.
And indeed, they were mostly older people, weren't they? Well, a large proportion were retired people. What would you say the sort of age distribution was?
There was young families, there was middle-aged people, there were people in their 30s. You know, it ranged from 5 years old up to 80. So there was a fair range of, you know, it was like Tony Abbott said, it was a snapshot of middle Australia that turned up, that they were concerned about what's going on, and they just got called extremists, likened to the KKK.
That's really sad.
Well, you know, I find it scary that a government can start calling its own people this.
Yeah, that's a bad sign. I agree. It's a really worrying sign. And, you know, history shows that when a government starts demonising its own people, who have legitimate, you know, questions and grievances. I mean, we see in the Middle East, and you know, we're supposedly supporting people's movements in the Middle East. It's just an incredible double standard when our own grassroots movements of people are vilified in this way. I can't agree with you more.
Well, mate, we got these people, the elderly, that have helped build this country, and they're getting attacked like this, and it's only going to anger the people more. And there was a poll that was taken that day on 9MSN. There was something like 80,000 people that are saying no to the carbon tax, and only something like 5 or 10,000 were saying yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what they're particularly saying is those people are extremists as well.
Yeah, it's like, wow, that's a lot of people. A lot of people apparently just not even really to be regarded as part of society. They're just some sort of aberrant thing. I mean, you know, maybe they should be just rounded up and put in concentration camps. I don't know. We're just going to break, Luke, and we'll be right back. I want to get into more discussion about the protest that's coming up. So just bear with us.
All right.
Here's some music by Ben Harper.
Untruths, half-truths, lines. You know the truth. Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia. www.truthnews.com.au.
Welcome back to the show. I'm here today with Luke Jenkins, who's an organiser of the protest against the carbon tax, which is taking place in Sydney on the 2nd of April, this coming Saturday. It's going to be a really interesting event. I will be there. I'll be there with a camera and a microphone. Hopefully do some Vox Pop interviews with people on the day, get that up on YouTube. Now, Luke, I've just got a question for you in regard to the political side of this, where we have the opposition party supporting the anti-carbon tax, but I feel that they're doing it in a soft kind of way, in a way which looks like they're just basically milking it for popularity and votes, because as we know, the previous leader of the opposition was totally in favour of it. And Tony Abbott has not actually stated clearly his position. You know, he basically hasn't questioned the greenhouse alarmism, the climate alarmism position. He's just basically saying, well, we've got better solutions than they do. How much do you think we can really rely on the Liberal Party, and to what extent do you think they're just basically using this opportunistically?
Well, it's hard to trust them anyway. Politics is a hard game to be in, but from what I've seen, and Tony Abbott does need to come out and state his policies. If they turned around and wanted the tax, we'd march on them as well. It's quite simple. We don't want a tax in this country that's going to cripple the economy, but Tony Abbott and the Liberals do need to come out with their policies, and I think they're having a hard time in Parliament and question time, because obviously Julia Gillard and co just go on a massive attack, like they're in this, you know, school playground.
Yeah.
And all they do is infight, and instead of discussing policies, we don't hear it. All we hear is infighting and name calling in Parliament.
Yeah, it's really just descended to a level of brutality. And, you know, as we saw with that horrendous TV commercial that was produced in the UK last year, where we saw small children being blown up, blown to bits, because they didn't, you know, want to take steps to lower their carbon footprint. And this was being promoted. This was actually like a television advertisement that was funded by a climate group over there. And it's basically saying that, you know, if you don't agree with us, we're going to kill you in the most gruesome, horrific way. I mean, a lot of people aren't aware of the sheer nastiness that is actually allied with the climate change lobby groups. As you get deeper, and I guess into the sort of extremist, again, I'm using this word extremist now. It's funny, isn't it? Because it's like they really are extremists, though. I mean, you know, the people who put that ad together, and I don't know if you saw that ad, Luke, but I mean, it's really frightening.
Was that the ad with the red button?
Yeah, the little red button. You know, there's a school teacher, and she's got the kids there in class, and she says, "Now, who wants to help?" You know, as their homework exercise, and show us what they can do to lower their carbon footprint. And, you know, Jimmy and Joni put their hand up, and one of the other kids doesn't. She says, "Oh, that's okay. If you don't want to do it, that's okay. No pressure." And then she says, "I'm just going to push this little red button." And then she pushes the button, and this small child is horrifically blown to bits with blood and gore splattered all over the classroom. I mean, that is a message constructed and concocted by an environment group. That when I saw that, I realised that the struggle here has reached a new level, and I really stepped up my own kind of efforts here.
Well, that's sort of ad I take personally, because I do have young children of my own. It's like they want to attack my children and my friends, you know, children, and it is disgusting with these groups out there putting ads like that out. It just goes to show they'll do it at any cost to get this through. and this is why we're stepping up to fight them and fight their propaganda. So we do care about our future. We do care about the environment's future. We do care about our children's future. We want them to have a fantastic opportunities down the track, not have a bleak future under attacks and under these extremists who seem to be popping up more and more everywhere.
Sure, yeah. And on the day of the protest in Canberra, a big kind of fuss was made about that sign that was up behind Tony Abbott while he was speaking. Julia is Bob Brown's bitch, I think it read. Is that hopefully, I mean, did that just pop up out of the blue, or what happened there?
The group that was organising the Canberra rally, Cutter, I'm not going to get into the politics of it all.
Sure.
I don't think the marshalling was too good there at the moment on that day because it did just pop up.
Right.
Middle of nowhere. I think Tony was a third of the way through his speech when it popped up. And where I was standing, I was behind the sound tent, so I couldn't see the sign.
Okay.
Otherwise, I would have moved in and taken it down.
Yeah, that's, you know, I think this is the type of thing that happens. And, of course, the people who made that sign may have made it with good intentions. I don't know. But anything like that, the media will seize on it to try and project a negative sort of violent image. And it's just something we've all got to be aware of. And, you know, I don't wish to criticize anyone, but it's just that these types of things will tend to happen. The media will seize on them, and it's hard. And I think that it's just really important that people do make an effort to minimize any type of behavior that might be construed as expressing violence or anything like that, because it just doesn't help. I don't know. It doesn't. In a way, you can't win because they'll find something. It's like every time we've had a major protest, like at the APEC protest, which I was there in 2007, it was an incredibly peaceful group of people. There was just, you know, it was one of the most peaceful things I've ever been at, you know. But there was one or two maniacs who turned up. And, of course, that became the focus of the news. And, you know, it was actually some guy who was psychotic turned up. And apparently he's well known. He turns up at a lot of protests, and he's not even part of any kind of movement. He just turns up and he's crazy and he throws things at the police. And of course, we've seen in other countries where there's been protests that these types of events are also co-opted to increasingly demonize those who go against the government. So, you know, we just have to be aware of that, that this type of thing can happen.
It can happen. You've got to be very careful because when we're opposing the government on issues, we face a hostile media. That's our problem. We face a very hostile media, so we've got to be very careful of what happens. And then you're right. They still will find something. If they can't find something pointing straight at them, they'll look amongst the crowd.
Sure.
It's like when I was there was a cameraman and journalist, and I was walking through the back, and they said, "Oh, there's nothing to see here. Let's go into the crowd." You know,
right.
So they were desperately looking for something, and then that sign popped up, and there you have it. It's been all over the news, and politicians have been demonising us and trying to link us to far right groups like the League of Rights, who haven't even organised the rallies at all. So, you know, I had Tanya Plebisek get up on Q&A the other night and was saying that, you know, Shooters Party and One Nation and the League of Rights were the ones behind organising the rally. And, you know, in itself it's very slanderous because those are not the groups. There's no far-right groups. It's just normal, everyday people that put their hands up, that work hard all their lives. We're just volunteers. Yes, we've got a number of groups that are backing us, groups in the agriculture industry. We do have some young liberal groups, you know, because they're pretty keen. But there's no far-right groups that are involved. They just turn up. And they do have a right in the democracy. We don't agree with them, but they have a right to turn up to a protest or a rally if they don't agree with the policy made by the government at the time.
Absolutely. That's just so true. I mean, It's just a political tactic. I mean, we're finally seeing now. What I think is interesting, you know, there's been kind of a lack of response within Australia to tyrannical developments, I guess, that have been unfolding over the years. And what we're seeing now is that the people hopefully are waking up a little. I mean, obviously, I see this as being part of a much bigger agenda, which I find very disturbing, a globalist agenda. And, you know, as we've seen, that this is about centralizing power. And there are longer-term objectives associated with the demonizing of carbon dioxide, which I believe, and there's been strong signs of this already, you find it in the media, it's not hard to find, that they're basically going to start running with an overpopulation argument, because they're going to be saying that that CO2 is a result of human overpopulation, and this then leads to things like one-child policies, and even, you know, possibly, you know, euthanasia policies to try and bring the population down. And, you know, we had John Holdren, who's the science czar in the US, who actually, in a well-known textbook on ecology, recommended putting sterilants in the water supply in the United States, and he is now one of the top advisors to President Obama. So this is not the realm of science fiction. This is not the realm of conspiracy theory. This is really, really what these people who are in positions of great power and influence have said and think. So that's where I see. That's the future that I really hope that we can avoid. And I believe it's going to take people like you. And I really just, you know, want to say thank you so much for stepping up and doing this.
Stepping up a great cost. I do believe we're fighting greater powers than what we realise at the moment, because we're having our phones tapped. We've had some of our Revolt team members followed home and stalked. And we are fighting something.
That's shocking.
Go on.
No, I just say, are you sure? Like, you have evidence that your phones have been tapped?
Yes, we do have evidence, and we do have evidence that we have had hacking attempts.
Right.
So there is evidence of that. And pictures have been taken, and it's all being collected into a file, so I can give to the police later on down the track. So we are fighting a greater power somewhere along the lines that want to stop this. You know, some members have had threats that are basically said if you turn up to the rally, then, you know, we're going to hunt you down, that sort of thing. So we're not going to back down from these threats. We're going to fight this all the way.
Great.
And what you're saying about a greater global movement, I do believe in, because the government's already slipped up and, you know, said money's, you know, going to go to the UN for this tax.
Indeed, I've seen the question in Parliament. Yeah, it's and I've put it on our Twitter feed there a couple of weeks ago when I saw it. 10% of the carbon tax goes to the UN.
Yeah.
And that may not seem like a large amount, but I mean, any amount is going out of the country straight to some giant body, which of course. If that happens on a large scale, these types of central bureaucracies will end up having so much power. And I mean, look what we've already seen happen with the European Union and what is now happening in Libya. I mean, basically, I see these increasingly powerful bureaucracies that control military force to be part of the centralization of power generally, and it doesn't tend to lead to more freedom. It doesn't tend to lead to more democracy, and especially when it's coupled with the ability to completely control the media, to basically, you know, say black is white, to basically just paint a picture so that the average person doesn't even really know, other than what they're told, what the reality is. That's the question. I mean, with climate change, of course. They might even start saying that if it gets cooler, that that's actually caused by some, you know, reverse effect from the CO2. They could run any argument. I could ramble on about that, but
Taking control of our schools.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the local school where I live. The principal, should have been the principal, got shafted, and instead there was a green activist principal put in charge, and he believes in putting a tax on everyone. So that is a bit of a concern there.
Luke, have you heard anything about kids at school being sort of taught to spy on their parents? Because I've actually had people tell me this anecdotally that, you know, it's like the kids are being trained to be little, like eco-Nazi spies. You know, it's just this sort of general indoctrination about, you know, turning the shower off and turning the lights off and, you know, not flushing the toilets and all these things. Have you heard anything much about that?
I've heard a little bit. I've heard reports coming out of England where they're being told to spy on their parents. But I haven't heard anything here in Australia yet, but it wouldn't surprise me if they're told to spy on us. So, well, you know, say one wrong word, say something out of context, and they're straight to the school teacher telling them, and next thing you know, you've got authorities on your doorstep. I don't think that's too far away myself either.
Sure, yeah. Like, mummy has really long showers, you know. I mean, you know, kids can be manipulated in this way, and it's not their fault. They're too young to understand it. We saw it in, you know, East Germany was, you know, doing it, and other countries that became tyrannical have done it. The Nazis did it. And of course, George Orwell, you know, described it in 1984 in detail. It really does happen. Look, we're sort of about to run out of time. Just want to quickly go through again the main websites. We've got No Carbon Tax website, which is nocarbontax.com.au. And if you go there, you'll see the information about the Sydney rally.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah.
There are a lot of groups behind this. And you've got the Revolt website, which is a group of volunteers who have put this together, who have come together to organise statewide rallies. There's a Brisbane rally coming up. I don't know the date yet. That's still being organised with a permit. But these rallies are just going to keep rolling on and rolling on as we pick up legs and pick up more people. You know, the government's going to realise that the majority of Australians do not want this tax, and we've got to stop it.
Yeah. And look, Truth News will follow this every step of the way. And anything you want to, like, put forward, any information, anyone you want to, you know, refer to us for an interview, please get in touch with me. And of course, you know, we'll be down there with a camera on Saturday just to take it in. Now, of course, you've got a Facebook group as well. That's the New South Wales March No Carbon Tax. So anyone out there who wants to join this, just take a look at those websites. And the main gathering point is Hyde Park North, near the steps there on Park Street. Is that where you'll be, or is it more up towards the fountain?
It's more up towards the fountain.
Okay.
There should be enough people there on the day. There's going to be an increased police presence on the ground because of the other counter rally by Get Up and Greenpeace and a couple of other groups that are going down to Belmore Park opposite Central Station. So anybody that wants to come along, mate, sure you avoid Belmore Park if possible and come to Hyde Park North. That's where the main rally will be.
Okay, so Get Up will be down at Belmore Park, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I'm glad they've separated it, so they're a long way apart. I mean, I think on the whole, the police try to do their job. You know, I think that hopefully it will be peaceful, and it will just be there to project the image that we want people to understand, and that there won't be any types of you know, conflicts or things like that develop.
That's correct. It'll be a very peaceful day. We'll be asking people if the ground's not too wet to feel free to sit down and enjoy the couple of hours they're there.
Great.
And if you want to get up and speak on the day, feel free to make your way to the front and let anybody know. We'll be identified. if they can come up to us and if you want to get up and speak, we'll organise it. So we left enough time open on the guest list.
That's excellent. That's really great. I'm glad to hear it. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
It's going to be a good day. Hopefully we get the numbers. Mind you, it's not about numbers because GetUp is more concerned about numbers than trying to say they've got a majority voice. What we're concerned about is stopping this tax.
Exactly.
We don't care if 10 people turn up or 20,000. It doesn't matter. We're there to say our piece and keep picking up numbers as well.
And, of course, you're aware that there's probably, for everyone that does stand up, there's probably 10 or 100 people who agree with you but just don't, because a lot of people don't want to go to a protest. I mean, I know a lot of people who don't agree with it, who don't believe in the whole thing about it, right? But they won't go to protests because they feel it's dangerous. They feel it's bad for their careers. They feel it's bad in all these different ways. And I can't really blame them. I sort of understand it, especially, you know, a lot of people who've got families and stuff. But, you know, I mean, you're a man with a family. And I think that attitude within our society is starting to change. And I think as people realize that it's worse to do nothing, you know, like they said, you know, in Nazi Germany, if you did nothing, it just got worse. And if you stood by and you waited till all of the other marginal groups had been eliminated, then there would be no one to stand up for you, you know. When people start to realize the threat of tyranny early, they can actually do something about it. And so that's what I believe that we are able to do.
There is a lot of people that stay at home because they are fearful, and you are right on that. But what we plan to show is that, yes, it can be peaceful, and we do look after people while they're there. There's always a police presence on the ground, so they got that extra protection. And we've got plenty of marshals that'll be weaving in and out of the crowd to make sure this, you know, everyone's safe. We've got, you know, made donations to St John's Ambulance. There's first aiders there. It's well organised, it's going to be safe, and just come up and turn up on the day and have your say, let your voice be heard for your families and your friends and your colleagues.
Fantastic. Okay, Luke, thanks so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me on.
See you on Saturday.
See you on Saturday.
Yeah. Cheers, mate. Thanks.
Cheers.
That was Luke Jenkins, and that's another show from Truth News Radio Australia. I hope some of our listeners can get to that protest. It is going to be big, and it is going to be interesting. And if you're coming, bring a camera, bring a video camera if you've got one. It's really important to document these events. Any video footage that you've got, you could send it to Truth News, and we could possibly compile it and put it together into a montage of some kind. Also photographs, you know, just if you'd like to get in touch with me to send any imagery that you've got, I'd really appreciate it. So that's all from Truth News for another show, and I'll be speaking to you again next week. Over and out from Truth News Radio Australia.